Welcome and thank you for listening to the Web Talk Guys radio show. And my name is Rob Greenlee. Want to remind all of our listeners to take us on the road. If you have an MP3 player or a pocket PC, you can listen to us anytime when you're driving down the road. All you need to do is just go to webtalkguys.com and download our MP3 files.
Hey, I'm Web Girl Dana. Yes, we'll go traveling with you. We're traveling men. I want to bring you the latest view every week of the internet as we see it through our eyes. You can always find Rob at robg@webtalkguys.com, and I can be reached at dana@webtalkguys.com. And we do like to hear from you. We'd like to put your thoughts and comments on the air, and I think I'm going to pull out an email we received this week in a few minutes. We want to also welcome and thank our new listeners from KVTI 90.9 FM. It's in the Seattle-Tacoma market. This is our second week on that radio station, and it's the second station we are in the Seattle market where we reside. And that airs every Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that we've got Seattle covered now, being on two stations. This week, we are going to re-air a couple of very good conversations that we've had on the show in the past. A couple of those companies or those individuals we're going to talk to are doing some very cool things online, and they're real important. And the two areas that we're going to talk about are online ticketing for summer travel. We're going to speak with American Airlines, and then spam fighting with MailWiper. And the reason we're doing this week is because we're moving our servers, and we just have a lot of stuff going on, and we'll get back next week with some original interviews for everybody.
And we have a new web blog at Web Talk Guys. You can find it at webtalkguys.blogspot.com, and this is where you can find out about all the stuff we're doing between shows, including moving servers, working on audiobooks, things like that. Our blog is also linked right from our site's front page at webtalkguys.com.
We're doing our best to try and keep that updated with the current things that we're finding out there as we're surfing the internet. On the show today, we're going to give you some tips on getting ready for summer holiday travel by using the web. And we're going to be talking with American Airlines' Rob Friedman. And he's their director of personalized marketing for AA.com. And he's going to give us some streamlined travel plan ideas and some ways to save money.
Based on customer feedback, we continually evaluate their input and their ideas about new features that we should add to the site, such as the ability to check in for your flight via the web and print a boarding pass, the ability to come to the site and retrieve any reservation that you have for travel on American. Right now, we offer the ability to retrieve a reservation that was made on AA.com, but coming soon, you'll have the ability to retrieve a reservation that was made anywhere. So, again, it just gives the customer a little bit more flexibility and a few more options to get the information they want.
Well, I don't know about you, but one of the hottest topics for me on the web is going to be covered by our next guest today, 100% solution to the biggest online problem, and that's spam email. You heard it here first, and we've even tested this software plugin, and it works just fine. 100 junk emails a day, just down to zero. We're going to be speaking with Rob Martinson. He's CEO of MailWiper.com. He's going to tell us about the cool new software that he's just put out and how you can get rid of junk email forever.
In terms of the large ISPs, unfortunately, their mechanisms are now pretty much obsolete. The spammers have switched from words in their ads, which were easily filtered, you know, through phrase statistical algorithms. And so without the words and now everything being a sliced GIF, that circumvents the phrase filtering algorithms. And so, unfortunately, those mechanisms just don't work anymore.
We found some interesting items around the net this week to share with you. The top 10 skyscrapers online, the new design for the World Trade Center, Microsoft patches IE and Outlook holes, and is there such a thing as good spam?
Well, Dana, I was out surfing the net this past week and came across a fascinating site. It's at skyscraperpage.com. And what this site does is it basically graphically shows you all of the world's tallest buildings and has them represented right on the screen and standing next to each other. It lists about 7,457 buildings in over 1,000 cities.
That means your city is on there, probably.
The top two tallest buildings, actually, one of them is not 100% completed. It's called Taipei 101. It's in Taiwan, and it's 448 meters tall, which is, I think, about 1,200, 1,300 feet, if you convert that to feet. And the second tallest building is a Sears Tower at 441 meters. The next three down from there are all in Asia as well. So
yeah,
they're all big ones.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, just to make a quick comment, that the top tallest building in Taipei is only tall if you don't count the radio towers. If you do count the radio towers, Sears Tower in Chicago does beat it, so it's very close. What else can we find on that site, Rob?
There is a link to the new design for the World Trade Center. That new building is actually going to be the world's tallest building. It's going to be at 1,776 feet tall. So it's going to be a huge building. It's actually going to blow away all of the other ones. But it's going to take a few years for them to build that. But you can go to this site at skyscraperpage.com and click on a link right on the front page, and it'll take you to a page that talks about the new World Trade Center design.
To be frank, I like our second story studio just fine. Let's talk a little bit about Microsoft. They've been busy trying to patch up some holes in Outlook and IE.
Microsoft has warned its customers that they should apply some updates. There's nothing new about this process. I think on a weekly basis, I probably install two or three updates for Microsoft. So I'm sure most of our listeners are used to doing this. But I guess IE and Outlook Express actually still have some holes there that are basically affecting the Internet Explorer 5.01 and 5.5 and 6.0. And all three of those browser versions have about four flaws. They're basically the so-called buffer overflow. So you want to go get the patches to the IE so you don't have this hacker vulnerability that can impact your PC.
And the same thing with Outlook and Outlook Express. Go ahead and download that patch. Even if you don't use Outlook as your email, or even if you have IE and you just don't surf the web, I can't imagine that. But these are vulnerabilities that could come in and actually help launch programs within your computer if you don't patch that up.
It's all based on the vulnerability of running an HTML script within your email program, and it can actually launch a little program. So what you want to do is go to Windows Update. Most the Windows programs have that feature in them, and just do a scan on your system and find that plugin.
Rob, we were talking about spam. We will be talking about spam in a few minutes on our show. You kind of alluded earlier, is there such a thing as good spam? Well, yeah, I guess if it's stuff that is from reputable companies and it's not just, you know, grow your penis longer.
One of the things here that's going on is that with this proliferation of spam, it's basically killing legitimate email marketing because people won't put up with any marketing emails coming to them. And there still is a place out there for companies to do legitimate email marketing, but it needs to be approved and opted in. And there's a group that's forming of email service providers and internet marketers that want to basically put together a cross-company program that will build faith and have a registration process that will actually enable legitimate emails to be sent out. And it's the Email Service Provider Coalition, and it's at networkadvertising.org/ESPC. So you want to go check this out. And it's being supported by some of the biggest companies on the net that do email marketing. So
including DoubleClick. Actually, how it works, they call it Project Loomis, relies sort of on this little registry that marketer would enroll in, and their emails would be sort of verified and tracked, and then they would get performance ratings. And I suppose if they're abiding by the law, you know, they get higher performance ratings. But what it does is open the door to later be able to track and then block actual bad spammers. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific thing.
Hey, Rob, before we go to the break, I want to share a quick letter. I think I mentioned earlier we got an email this week from a listener, and I'm telling you, I really appreciate this, Polly. Polly from North Carolina wrote, "Thank you so much for the fair-minded and informative interview with the PETA representative," and that's People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. "It's so rare to hear animal issues treated in such a thoughtful way by the media." Bravo, she says. And that was great because I printed out. I'm going to keep it in a folder. Thanks, Polly, because we did get slammed, actually, from a lot of people who did not think that we should have even talked about animal rights, even though we just presented it in a very unbiased, let's get some information kind of way.
And to be fair about this issue, we did get emails from both sides of the fence, and we're happy to share those.
Also, Rob, I wanted to say thank you to some of the new sponsors for our show. email newsletter provider whatcounts.com in Seattle, and also C Silver Nutrition.
Support for the Web Talk Guys show is also provided by Compass Communications, a network and server colocation provider up in Seattle, and also paybycheck.com, and we really appreciate it if you would give them all your support. Stay with us. Joining us in a moment to give us some tips on getting ready for summer travel using the web, we're talking with American Airlines' Rob Friedman, and he's their director of personalized marketing for AA.com, and he's going to give us some terrific strategies to streamline your travel plans and save money online. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins in a pill form, that's exactly where they're ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are just 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, you are literally flushing $90 of it down the toilet. If you want to start absorbing the nutrients you swallow, you need to take a product called Sea Silver. Not only does it contain every vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and enzyme known to man, but because it's in a natural liquid form, it offers a 98% absorption. That means your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. Try delicious-tasting Sea Silver today. You'll feel a difference or your money back. Call 1-800-285-8963. That's 1-800-285-8963. Isn't it time you stopped flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-285-8963.
We here at the Web Talk Guys need to stay in touch with what's happening in the local business community. That's why we all rely on our daily dose of the South Sound Business News with the Business Examiner Daily. The Business Examiner Daily is delivered free via email each weekday afternoon to subscribers with the top local business stories of the day. It's a quick read, and I've really come to depend on the Business Examiner Daily for its timely, relevant business news and a calendar of local business events. I recommend you sign up for this free email newsletter at their website, businessexaminer.com. Get all the business, all the time, at businessexaminer.com.
And now, the Internet's future. The Web Talk Guys.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio, and thank you for listening. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Web Girl Dana. Well, it's almost time again to book your travel, using the internet, of course.
You can really save some money by booking your flights online and get other services by booking online as well. We have Rob Friedman, Director of Personalized Marketing for American Airlines at AA.com, on the phone to give us some great travel tips and ways to streamline travel plans this holiday season. Rob, thanks for calling into the show.
Thank you, Rob.
You've got a very unique title as the Director of Personalized Marketing. Is that something new to the American Airlines team?
Yes, it is. It is a new title to American Airlines. As the Director of Personalized Marketing, my responsibilities cover a wide spectrum, including AA.com marketing, as well as our publishing and content staff, in addition to AA.com customer service, and then our overall customer relationship management effort for the corporation.
Why is that unique as far as in your position? Are you really trying to work a lot of personalization with the website?
Primary objective is personalization via the website, delivering the most personal experience possible to the customers that use the website, as well as at other customer touch points throughout American Airlines.
Mm-hmm. So is that a growing need out there that you're seeing with your site to have that personalized aspects to it? What does that involve?
Absolutely. Personalization is a critical component for AA.com as we seek to deliver the most relevant user experience to all of our customers in a unique and individualized experience. And that's really the focus for personalization, is to deliver the most relevant content, news, information, and offers to each customer that comes to AA.com.
Why don't you tell us a bit about your domain name that you have, AA.com. Could you give us a little story on how you guys got that?
We started out with AmericanAir.com and then decided that we needed to make it as short and sweet as possible. And so we secured the domain name AA.com. Easy to remember.
Yeah, it is.
Top of mind for a lot of our customers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Short and sweet. That's what,
short and
that's
sweet.
What's great on the web.
Yes.
What percentage of your customers right now are using your site to actually book tickets right now? And what, I mean, are you guys seeing that growing a lot?
We don't divulge specific information related to
A.com volume.
Sure.
But overall, in 2001, we booked over $2 billion in revenue for all of our websites, or all of the distribution sites that have American Airlines product. As well, A.com revenue grew 90% year over year.
Obviously, with a lot of other .coms out there selling tickets online, are you guys seeing a significant amount of your volume going to, you know, like a discount online website out there? Or are you guys seeing a lot of people go back to AA and just go direct to airlines?
Our revenue has never been stronger. A lot of our customers are continuing to find the convenience and benefits of AA.com beneficial, because the site's not just about booking travel. It's also about all of the other features that we offer,
sure,
including the ability to manage your AAdvantage account, the ability to sign up for a product we call Flight Status Notification, which delivers proactive notification of the status of your flight, one of a variety of different mechanisms, your cell phone, your email, PDA, etc., to let you know about the status of your flight. So we think that all of the benefits that customers can derive on AA.com, keep bringing them back, and the benefits are there, so that they see a lot of a benefit from visiting AA.com as opposed to some of the other travel websites.
Wow, Rod, that's terrific. That you mean on my PDA, I can just see if the flight's going to be late. I don't have to go and find that big overhead screen and crane my neck up.
Exactly. The PDA will show you if there's been a gate change, baggage claim location, and any time changes as well.
That's right. I don't want to just immediately say that all American Airlines are late or something. But
no, sure, not at all. Not at all. We've never had a better on-time performance than in the recent months.
Well, and that's interesting, because you just said that in the last few weeks you've had, you know, a huge increase. Is that just part of the incremental increase?
We think that the added benefits and features that we've added recently to the site have also encouraged customers to come to the site and check those things out. And while they're there, they make bookings. We added the ability to book AAdvantage awards recently for domestic travel, and that's been a very popular feature.
Explain that a little bit.
Customers can come to the site and book our most popular domestic awards, that's for travel within the U.S., Canada, and Alaska, utilizing their AAdvantage miles. Before, the only way you could book that travel was to call our reservations number, and now we give customers another option.
So what kind of deals are you guys offering off your website? Are those prices that you can get elsewhere? I mean, if a person were to phone in a ticket order, would they get the same price as if they just went to the website?
One of our most popular features are our web-only fares. Mm-hmm. And those we communicate via a couple of different ways. The first is through a weekly NetSavers email that customers come to the site, mm-hmm, opt in to receive weekly email updates regarding our NetSaver weekend fares. And then there's an entirely different section of the website called NetSavers and Special Offers, which lists all of our special web-only fares that are available. And customers can either access that page, or they can go to what's called NetSaver Alerts in the My Account section, where they can sign up to receive homepage alerts on up to 30 different markets that they're interested in traveling to. So every time they come back to the site, if there's a fare sale in those markets, it shows up on their homepage.
Without a doubt, the web has just made travelers' lives real easy, and I'm sure it's made ticket agents and, you know, the phone operators' lives a little easier, too, because a lot of it's do-it-yourself. But, you know, for some reason, I'm worried about the travel agent industry. How do they feel about the regular Joe being able to book their vacations online?
I can't speak for the travel agents, but for our customers, they find a tremendous amount of convenience in the ability to come to the website and complete a variety of different transactions, be it managing their AAdvantage account, which is something that their travel agent doesn't necessarily do for them, mm-hmm, or booking their air, car, and hotel, or signing up for something like Flight Status Notification. So there's a variety of different features that our customers utilize and find very convenient and easy to use.
You mentioned earlier, in answer to one of the questions, that there are several AA.com distributor websites. What is that, and what are they?
Those are other travel websites that distribute American Airlines fares. This would be like an Orbitz or an Expedia. Right,
yeah.
That also display American Airlines fares. Just as AA.com will show flight schedules and fares for other airlines, we also offer the ability for customers who choose to see other flight schedules and other fares for other airlines, customers can come to AA.com and see those as well.
That's very brave. Why did you decide to offer the competition as well?
Based on some customer feedback, some customers like the ability to compare the fares at AA.com, and so for customers who choose to do that, we offer that flexibility. And that's generally how the entire site has been built, is based upon customer input. And we relaunched the site in April, and that was based on customer feedback that we received in 10 different focus groups around the country. We went to our customers and asked them, what do you want to do on AA.com, and how do you want it to look, and how do you want it to feel? And the new site was a result of those discussions.
So how is the online booking experience different, and what are people expecting of the online experience, and also what are people doing that's different than what they did in the past?
Our customers are expecting ease and convenience and a more personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Ease and in the ability to find the flights that they're looking for, the ease in finding the fares that they're looking for, convenience in the capability to, again, book flights, but also complete a variety of other transactions. We allow customers to purchase upgrades online if they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to check their AAdvantage account or sign up for flight status notification. Also to sign up for some of our various email products. And in terms of a more personal experience, we offer the ability through My Account to personalize your web experience by telling us a little bit about yourself, some of your favorite destinations, your companion traveler information, your credit card information. Again, to make the experience more personal and also to make it easier because all of that information is pre-populated when you do make a booking on AA.com.
Let's kind of put on our futurist hat a little bit and think about, you know, where all this is going if we look out into the future of people booking travel and travel plans and things. What do you see as far as changes that are happening within the industry right now that we're going to see come to the website or help people make plans to travel in the future?
Sure, absolutely. Again, based on customer feedback, we continually evaluate their input and their ideas about new features that we should add to the site. And in the coming months, you'll see a few new features,
mm-hmm.
such as the ability to check in for your flight via the web and print a boarding pass, the ability to come to the site and retrieve any reservation that you have for travel on American. Right now, we offer the ability to retrieve a reservation that was made on AA.com, but coming soon, you'll have the ability to retrieve a reservation that was made anywhere. So again, it just gives the customer a little bit more flexibility and a few more options to get the information they want.
Now, if only you could make a cut of the sales that maybe were picked up by another carrier. It's only fair.
And another feature that we're adding is expanded award booking capabilities. Right now, we offer domestic trips only, but that will soon be expanded to include international as well.
Oh, terrific. Bonus miles have sure been kind of a hot topic lately with online travelers, and what are you guys doing with your bonus miles that's unique?
Each customer that makes a round-trip booking on AA.com earns 1,000 bonus miles, and that's proven to be an extremely popular feature with all of our customers. In addition, we encourage our customers to use some of our other self-service features, like our self-service check-in. Mm-hmm. And then another great way to earn bonus miles is by accessing the My Account feature on AA.com and opting in to receive eSummary, which is an electronic form of the AAdvantage summary, and customers earn 1,000 miles by opting in for that email product from now through December 31st.
Oh, that's good.
That's great.
We're having a conversation with Rob Friedman. He's the Director of Personalized Marketing for AA.com, otherwise known as American Airlines. More in a moment with Rob. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins in a pill form, that's exactly where they're ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are just 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, you are literally flushing $90 of it down the toilet. If you want to start absorbing the nutrients you swallow, you need to take a product called Sea Silver. Not only does it contain every vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and enzyme known to man, but because it's in a natural liquid form, it offers a 98% absorption. That means your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. Try delicious-tasting Sea Silver today. You'll feel a difference or your money back. Call 1-800-285-8963. That's 1-800-285-8963. Isn't it time you stopped flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-285-8963.
This is Web.Guys Radio. I'm Rob Greenlee, and that's Dana on the other mic.
We have Rob Friedman on the line. Rob is Director of Personalized Marketing for American Airlines at AA.com. He's giving us some tips to help us plan our holiday travels online.
Well, so the online booking process, how has that been having an impact on security? Is online booking a risk?
Online booking is completely secure. Mm-hmm. Online customers go through the exact same security procedures that non-online customers go through.
So are you guys doing ticketless travel, or is it still a paper-based process when they actually get to the airport?
It's actually a ticketless-based product.
Okay.
Customers still have the option to receive a paper ticket in some cases, but generally they pay a fee for that option. So we encourage customers that are eligible for e-tickets to accept those tickets because they are the most convenient way to travel. And they also offer the most flexibility with some of our other functions and features like our curbside check-in and our self-service check-in. Self-service is only applicable to someone who is ticketed on an electronic ticket.
For those of our listeners that maybe not in front of their computers right now, they're driving in their car listening to you, why don't you give them a little visual tour of the website and some areas that you want to particularly point out that you haven't already, and maybe throw in a deal or two that's going on right now.
The best place to start would be the AA.com homepage, which again was designed by our customers for our customers, and it effectively contains four or five different key parts, the first of which being NetSaver Alerts. That is where each customer can customize, again, up to 30 city pairs that they're interested in seeing if that market goes on sale. Each time that customer comes to the site, they see those cities listed in the sale fare that's applicable. Below that is a news and information. Once again, is based on each customer's unique needs and their preferences. Mm-hmm. That shares news, information, and offers that are of interest to that customer. A little bit below that is an email subscriptions box where a customer can click and then sign up for one of our four email products. Homepage also includes the capability to make a reservation directly from the homepage, check gates, times, and status, as well as a quick view of their AAdvantage miles. Off to the far left is our easy navigation. Navigation was completely redesigned as part of the relaunch, and essentially the goal there was to make sure that almost all information was just one click away from the homepage. So flyout menus display all the various sections of the site so that customers can navigate their way easily through the site. And along the top of the homepage are all the reference guides, such as the ability to search. FAQs are available on every page of the site. And then the Contact AA link links you to a page where it shows you phone numbers and email addresses for some of the various departments throughout American that you may be interested in contacting. And finally, the My Account link is at the top also, where you can click and then be taken to a tabular format where you can tell us about your travel preferences.
Wow. Certainly looks like you guys have spent a lot of time and effort trying to design your site so it's easy for people to use your site. Have you guys gone through a huge process to evaluate that?
Yes. We have put our site through rigorous usability labs. Mm-hmm. And the most rigorous users are our customers.
You bet.
And so we bring in customers periodically and ask them to tell us about what they find most usable about the site or not usable about the site. We do a variety of different testing mechanisms on the content in terms of the verbiage and the navigation and what they understand or what they think may be confusing. Mm-hmm. And then based on that feedback, we feed that into our development process so that their feedback is directly reflected on the website design. And we find that input invaluable.
What are some of the key things that you guys have identified through that process that have helped you streamline the site?
Our customers have identified a couple of things. One, intuitive navigation, the ability to find the information that they're looking for quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the ability to complete transactions easily. We take customers through the booking process in an easy five-step process, which is intuitive, and we also take them through a breadcrumb process so they can see where they're at in the process. And then three, just overall look and feel. Does it look nice? Is it easily read? And is it attractive to look at? It
certainly looks like you guys have done your studies on using just the proper amount of words and being very clear with your text in the descriptions. I know that was one of the big things that some of the usability experts that we've had on said is like, you know, take out half of the amount of words that you that you have on your site and you'll be clearer. And it looks like you guys have done a good job of that.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. And making it clear, things like reservations, that just directs customers very easily and intuitively to the information they're trying to find.
Well, Rob, it was great having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Rob Friedman, who's the Director of Personalized Marketing for the American Airlines Group at AA.com. Rob, you have a great weekend.
You too, Rob.
Thanks.
Bye.
Stay connected. In a moment, we'll be speaking with Rob Martinson, CEO of MailWiper.com, about a cool new software to help you get rid of your junk mail forever. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins in a pill form, that's exactly where they're ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are just 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, you are literally flushing $90 of it down the toilet. If you want to start absorbing the nutrients you swallow, you need to take a product called Sea Silver. Not only does it contain every vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and enzyme known to man, but because it's in a natural liquid form, it offers a 98% absorption. That means your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. Try delicious-tasting Sea Silver today. You'll feel a difference or your money back. Call 1-800-285-8963. That's 1-800-285-8963. Isn't it time you stopped flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-285-8963.
You're connected to the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm joined by Web Girl Dana.
Well, our most important topic we've ever covered here on Web Talk Guys is about to hit the airwaves right now, today. On the line, right now, we have our guest that has developed a 100% solution to the biggest online problem.
Spam email.
Oh, I hate that stuff.
I know. I hate it a lot.
You heard it here first on the Web Talk Guys. It's brand new. We've even tested this software plugin, and it works great. Rob, you've gone from
100 a day spam to zero.
Just in a few days. Rob Martinson, he's the CEO of MailWiper.com. He's the man of the hour, our new hero. His cool new software has just come out of beta, and it's ready to wipe out junk mail forever.
Rob, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Certainly, spam is a huge issue for millions of people out there, and why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what your software is really designed to do and what its focus is?
Sure. MailWiper, which is in patent pending right now, operates in a paradoxical manner when compared to present traditional methods of email client spam blocking. And what I mean by this is instead of asking who is the spammer, like all of our ISP competitors and server-based filtering programs, MailWiper effectively says who isn't the spammer.
Mm-hmm.
And we accomplish this with five bulletproof software mechanisms. Internally, we call these the five MailWiper software offense weapons against spam. And I can tell you the five integral components of the MailWiper arsenal are your address books and your contact lists. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is a user-controlled dynamic whitelist. And number three is a user-controlled configurable stealth email ID. And number four is automatically managed auto-replies. And number five is a user-controlled blacklist.
I like all these military and very scary references. The stealth, the blacklist, and the arsenal.
It's quite a war out there.
Well, that's exactly what the point is that there's a lot of people getting spammed, and it's kind of awful out there for a lot of people. And it sounds like your software is really kind of doing a lot of cutting edge things that can really make the email experience a little bit more personal again.
Appreciate that. Yeah. The key to MailWiper is that all the power is in the user's hands.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, no spammer has access to even one MailWiper user's configuration wizard. And this allows MailWiper to keep all the spammers out of their inbox. There's absolutely no way they can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
If they had access to the configuration wizards on the user's PCs, then they might be able to get in, but they just simply don't.
let's back up a little bit, and I want to ask you a little bit about the bigger picture with spam, and your program is really taking the issue from the client side, which is the user of the internet is going to take responsibility for what happens to their particular inbox, versus I think what the government and a lot of the people out there are focusing more on the ISP side of things. Do you think that the government and ISP are going to be effective at cutting down spam, or is an application like yours really the only solution I think that's going to work in the long run?
Well, there's a couple of issues that have just cropped up in the past few months, and we'll talk about those so I can help clarify that. But basically, the U.S. government can't really help, even if they passed a law to ban spam, because then the spammers would just simply go to foreign countries and bypass the U.S. laws altogether. Mm-hmm. In terms of the large ISPs, unfortunately, their mechanisms are now pretty much obsolete, and I'll explain to you why. The large ISPs use IP blocking and phrase filtering technology. Both of these have been defeated by two things. The spammers are using a thing called dynamic IP switching. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that effectively the IP that was previously blocked is now changed in stream. It's actually happening on the fly. Mm-hmm. The second thing is quite interesting. The spammers have switched from words in their ads, which were easily filtered, through phrase statistical algorithms. And so without the words, and now everything being a sliced GIF, that being a graphic file, or several graphic files, mm-hmm. that circumvents the phrase filtering algorithms, and so unfortunately those mechanisms just don't work anymore.
Yeah, so that means that most of the emails that are going out now are going out as images, not text.
Exactly, precisely. And so the server level software blockers, if you call them that, or filters, just aren't effective anymore. Mm-hmm. They'll work on some of the older spam techniques, but they're not going to work on the newer ones. And so now that brings the problem back into the user's hands again, because their ISPs can't help them with the massive amounts of spam that are coming in.
Is the government going to be able to change gears or enforce ISPs to still block emails that are going through that are unsolicited? Is there a way they can switch to take care of it from that end?
Well, they'd have to develop a new technology, and I think that's the issue at hand.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You have developed that new technology, which is you're ahead of the government, which is so frequent in the enterprise area. You beat the government.
Well, it's interesting. We this whole business mail wiper came about that we just had a goal that we didn't want children and grown-ups, being sent awful pornography spam emails, and we kind of set out to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And we didn't see any other way to do it but from the client side, and we developed the five offense tools that we have based upon that.
We're having a conversation with Rob Martinson. He's CEO of MailWiper.com, giving us the lowdown on how to get rid of spam forever.
Well, do you think that people will stop using email if there's no spam filtering like what you've developed out there that's being used? I mean, will people back away from it, do you think?
No, but I believe people will change email addresses, which will help them temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
I might add that the webmail addresses are hit the worst due to the spammers are sending out large numbers of guest email addresses that eventually hit most, if not all, of the webmail addresses at such like MSN and Hotmail and Yahoo, the large webmail providers.
Mm-hmm. Recently, there was a study that came out saying that spam is really only a problem for heavy net users. Would you say that that's true?
I think the volume of spam can perhaps be a little less on those who don't
use it much.
Webmail,
yeah.
or for their access, for their email access. But, of course, once the first spammer gets an email address, then it gets out of control very quickly. And furthermore, users who sign up for free offers, and I mean, they're prone to receive the heaviest volumes of spam faster than those who have not ever signed up for anything on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And those who have their email address posted in HTML pages on websites and news groups also have extremely large volumes of incoming spam, because the spammers have harvested those email addresses right off the web by using web bots.
Mm-hmm.
Those web bots search for email addresses on every URL across the internet.
Rob, we've been using MailWiper here at the WebTalk Guys studio, and but for the benefit of those listening, why don't you walk us through the sort of the setup of once you have it, what is required for the user to sort of start that process, and when can they start seeing some results?
It actually blocks the spam immediately, and I'll attempt to explain it to you. It's a fairly long explanation, because there are five components, and I'll try to go slowly, and feel free to interrupt me if there's something that I haven't made clear. Let's talk about the first line of defense that MailWiper uses. MailWiper compares your existing address books and contact lists with your incoming email addresses. If the from address in the email header does not match an address in your contact list or your address books, then MailWiper will look at its whitelist, which is our second line of offense.
Mm-hmm.
This is where our users create a whitelist, and this kind of answers your question. This is where there is a little bit of integration or participation by the user. Because, again, we're not asking who is the spammer. We're asking who isn't the spammer. It's the opposite approach. So what happens here is MailWiper will automatically add good email addresses here into the whitelist so that the user doesn't have to. And what happens there is they then have the ability to take, for example, let's say eBay or a newsletter from, it could be the Discover Channel, it could be a newsletter from really anywhere, American Express, mm-hmm. whatever you have, and just add those words. And actually, here's how they do it. The MailWiper whitelist looks at the to, the from, and the subject email headers for all incoming emails. So if there's a word or a set of words or an email address or even a partial email address in the whitelist, it then allows those emails to go directly into your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, this is for newsletters, discussion group emails, or any emails you want to get through to your inbox automatically. The MailWiper user can access and manage their whitelist from within any program. Then we have the auto-reply, which works in conjunction with the email, the stealth email ID. The third and fourth lines of offense for MailWiper, the auto-reply with a configurable stealth email ID. Let's say an email passes through the MailWiper whitelist. Then it goes into a holding email folder of your choice. Usually the MailWiper user calls this their spam or junk email folder.
Mm-hmm.
Then and only then will a polite auto-reply be sent out to that questionable email address so that it can be verified by a human. Fortunately, only humans can see the MailWiper email ID and the auto-reply. I might add that most, if not all, spammers have bogus or non-functioning from addresses in the spam they send out.
So the spam folder is just a holding location for the spam to go, for you to be able to go in and look through it if you want to? Or what's the real purpose, really, of dumping it into a spam folder versus just deleting it?
There's two purposes there. The first one, of course, is if it takes a user who's replied to an auto-reply or who hasn't replied to an auto-reply, if it takes that user a couple days or a week to, they may be on vacation or something is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
Then it's really important to hold on to the mail message until the auto-reply comes in, because when it does come in, MailWiper then sees the email ID being its own unique ID belonging to itself, and then it adds that from address to the whitelist and instantaneously moves the original message from the spam folder up into the inbox.
Mm-hmm.
So you typically probably going to set your number of days to delete spam to something like 2 weeks or so.
Rob Martinson is on the line with us. He's the CEO of MailWiper.com. We're chatting about his new software for email to help us weed out all that spam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really happy to see this use of a whitelist, because I wouldn't want to see, like, let's say my contact or address book filled up with just, you know, like the Discover newsletter and everything, people I wouldn't necessarily write, but I'd still want to receive. So that whitelist is key.
True. And a perfect example of this, to use the whitelist, is when you buy something online. Let's say that you go online to buy something on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Then all you'd do is, while you're on eBay, you'd add at eBay into your whitelist, and then when the eBay email purchase receipt gets sent back to you, it's not sent an auto reply. It merely goes straight into your inbox so you don't lose it.
Interesting.
And there's another really good example I'd like to bring to your attention, because this is where some of the heaviest spam comes in. Let's say that you have a website with a web form for sales inquiries on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the website form always says something like information request number 217.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the subject field that is sent to your email address, because the form always sends that email with that subject all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'd do is you'd go into your whitelist and you'd add those precise words into the whitelist, and then all those emails from your website will go into your inbox, and the spammers will go into the spam folder, because they're basically not going to harvest the subject field of the subject field off of your website. They're only going to harvest the email address. Their web bots are only looking for everything after, which is basically the email address.
Okay.
Rob, how does your software compare to some of the other spam filtering software out there? Are you doing some unique things that nobody else in the market is doing?
We really are, because the traditional methods of spam blocking just don't work 100% of the time. As I pointed out earlier, the spammers are it's kind of a cat and mouse game that they're playing, and I like to use this metaphor when I talk about MailWiper to kind of explain why it's unique. Instead of the cat chasing the mouse in a large open field, the mouse is in a box, and it's already caught and completely contained. So we don't see that our competitors can really keep up with the changes that the spammers are making.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take the Fort Knox approach. So there's really no way that anybody can get in the inbox through your address book.
And I must say that there is a certain amount of delight I take in looking at how much spam is accumulated over the day, being amazed before it goes away.
Yeah.
It can be pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye, spam.
it's pretty funny. The numbers can get fairly high.
Let's talk a little bit about what client applications or email programs that your software works with and what you're doing with that.
Well, presently MailWiper works with Microsoft Outlook 2000 and 2002, mm-hmm. as well as Outlook Express 5.5 and 6.0. And those two versions of MailWiper are different, and I'll tell you why they're different. The MailWiper version for Outlook works with all languages except for Chinese at this time, whereas the Outlook Express version only works with English, of course, Spanish, German, Italian, and French, and Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
We will be coming out with new languages for the Express version every month.
So are you going to be supporting other email client programs in the future, you think?
Yeah, we certainly will. We're looking right now at Netscape and a few others, and of course we won't make a promise at this point, but we are certainly looking at other clients.
What kind of reaction have you received from your marketing of this software? I'm always interested to know how successful it is, and I think you have, rightly so, used email as a way to let people know about this.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been kind of our test market, and we're not terribly happy about that. We think that there's basically two kinds of people when they get an email from us that's sent out from an opt-in list. They can feel offended, or they can actually thank us, you know, this was the best bulk mail I ever got because it's helping me get rid of the junk. But we're very interested in pursuing other methods of advertising at this time.
How much does your software actually cost?
It's only $29.95, and there are no annual fees, no monthly fees, and no software update fees for life.
Well, that's great. So when you come up with an upgrade, a new language or whatever, we're just notified as users.
It's actually, you're notified right on the website where the online instructions are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we communicate to our users. One thing I might add, too, is that our licensing agreement is very different. We don't believe that people should pay for a second license just because they have a notebook as a second computer.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't believe that people should have to pay for an Outlook Express version for the office and an Outlook version for their home.
Mm-hmm.
So the license that you pay, which is only $29.95, you're really permitted to use as many copies of the program on as many computers as you personally own. So really, to put it succinctly, one MailWiper user license per human.
Mm-hmm.
That is fabulous. I mean, Microsoft should take that stance.
That's right.
I wish they would.
Yeah, everybody in the industry should do that.
That's a definitely value added.
Well, appreciate
that. I'm glad you mentioned that. On the line with us today is Rob Martinson, CEO of MailWiper.com. We're talking about his new software solution to get rid of spam email.
So has the software been recognized out there yet by any review bodies or anything like that for its ability to 100% eliminate spam?
The only testimonials that we have are from users at this point, primarily because we haven't begun our PR attack at this juncture. But we're beginning to set the plan for that in the next month or so.
Yeah, because it certainly, from what I've seen of your software, it seems to be the solution. I mean, since I've started using it, I haven't had any junk email that I've had to deal with at all in my inbox. It's only been stuff that, you know, I've wanted to receive. You know, it has taken a little bit of work on my part to set up the whitelist and those kind of things, but it seems to be working very well, and I'm real happy with it, that's for sure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. So are you planning on supporting blocking of spam in, like, the Instant Messenger clients and maybe even possibly PDAs in the future, pocket PCs?
We'd enjoy tackling that issue. It sounds like a real challenge to me. But until we really develop a blueprint, we certainly wouldn't commit to it.
Do you see spam being an issue with those client applications?
It really can be, though the majority of spam, I would say probably 70%, is HTML files, and most of the small handhelds will block out the HTML, but you still end up with the subject. So to answer the question, yes, it is a problem. It can be overwhelming, especially when you consider people may be paying for their airtime.
Have you received any reaction from the spam side of things? Has any large spammers, X10 or something, said anything to you about how dare you, or let me buy you out?
we actually get a lot of spammers complaining right now. It's funny. So our response is, well, we would ask that you would have to ask your customers to add them to your whitelist, and if they don't want to, then there's not much we can do.
Very good answer. Very diplomatic.
Well, we don't want to stop people from getting their, you know, their discussion lists and their news groups and their. And there are some, you know, very good opt-in email that people get, so the whitelist is for that.
So do you see the spammers out there being able to adapt their campaigns to get around your application, or do you think that there's you've basically covered all the bases and there's nothing that they can adapt to that will get around your system?
That's what we see, and I think the only hole could be that they may start replying to the auto replies, but there again, there's a switch built into MailWiper where you can turn off that email ID from adding their from address to your address book, and thereby putting the message in your inbox. So, if you start seeing a colossal amount of responses from spammers, then you just switch it off and you beat them again. Again, the power's in the user's hands and not in the spammer's hands.
And one other question that I had, too, was about using it on a practical basis, on a day-to-day basis, is that occasionally people send me emails that I don't have in my contact list, and they're personal emails, and I definitely want to get them. I guess one of the challenges, I guess, is your software being smart enough to know what messages I want to receive that aren't in my contact list, I guess.
There's a couple ways around that. You can either hand out your email ID. You can actually even, you know, if you want to, you can print it on your business card, and that will bring your friends' emails directly into your inbox without any hassle. There's a couple other things we've done, too. You can, of course, you know, create any segment of words that you want to in your whitelist. It could be best friend from high school or whatever, and ask them to put it in the subject list. And then we have something that's somewhat a little bit funny that we added to the program, which has a switch to turn off and on, and I have to make that clear because you'll understand why. If you're just too busy to explain to somebody, you know, what your email ID is or how to get the mail through, then just tell them to send you a high-priority email. And if you have that switch turned on, then all the high-priority emails will go into your inbox.
Oh.
But I wouldn't suggest keeping it turned on all the time.
Yeah, well, spammers occasionally use those too, don't they? Yeah.
That can be quite funny, a high priority spammer.
There's something wrong with that. It just doesn't gel. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, you can just turn it off. So it's it could come in handy if you were in a hurry somewhere and you just couldn't miss the person.
That's really clever. I like
that
one.
That's great.
Thank you.
What new things are coming to the client here over the next 2 or 3 months. So are there more changes coming, more improvements?
Yeah, we've actually dedicated most of our development in the next few months to just adding more usability functions like buttons inside Outlook, you know, managing the whitelist and managing the blacklist. Presently, you have to click on the icon on the bottom right system icon tray in order to access your whitelist manager and your blacklist manager. But so we're going to go ahead and put those functions right up inside the email program, so it's a little bit easier for the user. We're most interested in making the program extremely easy to use.
So what was the inspiration for you creating this software? Just curious, what's the story behind MailWiper?
I was hearing in the industry that, you know, children were getting hit with pornography, and even though they didn't want it in their emails, then they would go delete them, and they would pop up on the screen and go straight into the websites, and I just felt that was very evil, and it was time for someone to bring that to an end. And there's some just real horrible, awful pornography spams that are running around the internet. So I've dedicated my life to getting rid of it.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. Well, we certainly appreciate it. No question about it. And Rob, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
It's great to hear about MailWiper.com. We've been speaking with Rob Martinson, CEO of MailWiper.com. Rob, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
This is Web.Guys Radio.
And I'm Webgirl Dana.
And my name is Rob Greenlee, and we hope to have you back with us again next week. I'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web.Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web.Guys time, same Web.Guys channel.